So the super committee turned out to be somewhat less than super, and President Obama has made clear during his press conference yesterday that the federal government will cut its deficit one way or the other.
One way or another, we will be trimming the deficit by a total of at least $2.2 trillion over the next 10 years. That's going to happen, one way or another.
Well, exactly how that's going to happen is up for debate right now. Good morning. Todd Zwillicka joins us. He's our Washington correspondent. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
All right, so coming up next, the super committee fails, but there's still a chance for Congress to make these cuts, right?
Well, you know, the sequester and the $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction is a law, and these are lawmakers. That means they can undo the law by passing a new law. And there are lots of members of Congress.
But the president says he'll veto it.
He doesn't have to sign it, exactly. This has to be, if they want to get out from under the sequester, they have to do it like any other law. Civics 101, the president has to sign it. He says he will not. Now, some strong statements yesterday on the Hill from very powerful Republicans, especially involved in defense and defense policy, people like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, a guy named Buck McKeon, who's the chairman of Armed Services Committee in the House. He said, I will not be the House chairman who presides over an evisceration or a hollowing out of our defense establishment. And he says the defense secretary, Leon Panetta, who works for the president, agrees with him. And McKeon says he's putting all his weight behind repealing the defense sequester, which is about $600 billion in defense cuts over the next 10 years, starting in January 2013. That's going to be a fight, and they have a lot more fights over spending and debt to come before that even happens.
That's Todd Zwillicka, our Washington correspondent. Also on the line with us this morning is Grover Norquist, who's the president of Americans for Tax Reform. You know, Grover, I suggested that perhaps you may be the only person happy with the sequestration rules because they don't include tax increases. Is that correct?
Well, it's certainly an improvement over either raising taxes, the trillion-dollar tax increase that Obama wanted. He said he would veto any super committee agreement that didn't include $1 trillion in tax increases, since they were supposed to fix a $1.2 trillion overspending problem that left zero space for actual reductions in spending. That the Republicans rejected, the $1 trillion tax increase that Obama wanted, and also what the Democrats on the committee, they were demanding $1 trillion of tax increase in return for anything else. So a sequester is better than the $1 trillion of tax increases that the Democrats were pushing for. It's also better than phony spending restraint. The other thing that the Democrats wanted to do was to claim that they'd saved $1 trillion by not occupying Iraq for the next 10 years. I suggested they could save $2 trillion by not occupying Iraq for the next 20 years. But those were the two contributions to budgeting that the Democrats were offering. The sequester is better than that. Now, the sequester is not as good as the Paul Ryan budget plan, which reduced spending over the next 10 years by $6 trillion by actually reforming entitlements and Medicaid and food stamps.
Well, there are some pretty serious deep cuts into many entitlement programs that with such a large unemployment rate in the United States, many people at this point are depending on. But one of the things that you're talking about in terms of tax increases is the Bush tax cuts, which when they were passed were designed to expire. They were reluctantly extended, but they should have expired by now. So why not let them expire since they're contributing so much to the national deficit at this point?
Well, that is the Democrat position. They want to raise taxes about $3 trillion if you the Bush tax rates, 2003 tax rates, don't continue. They were always meant to be permanent by the Republicans who enacted them because of the Democrat filibuster. They were only out for 10 years. But Obama, a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, extended them for another 2 years after they were badly mauled in the 2010 election over taxes and spending. We're now going to have an election in 2012. The Republicans will hold the House. They'll probably take the Senate since they're 23 Democrats up and only 10 Republicans, and half of the Democrats are in Republican trending states. So the question is, do we elect a Democratic president who wants to raise taxes to the level of spending that Obama and Reid and Pelosi have brought us to? They've taken spending from 20% of the economy up to 25% of the economy, and of course added several trillion dollars of debt just in the last 3 years while driving unemployment higher rather than lower.
Although Republicans helped along the way, if you go back to the Bush era. Grover Norquist, you know, I guess...
Bush spent too much, but the last three years have been significantly worse.
You've said that. And I guess what we won't be doing is electing Grover Norquist in 2012, since it's more your cadre of pledged candidates who are on the Republican side who are going to run on this issue of holding back taxes. Do you feel good this morning that this political tactic is actually working?
Well, of course, it's a political principle that the government is too large and we don't want to raise
taxes. But do you feel happy this morning? Is this like a victory for Grover?
No, that's silly. Of course, this is Harry Reid's theory that there's an argument. He's got an argument with me. He has an argument with the American people and with the Congress. It's a victory for taxpayers, and it's a victory for the point that the American people don't want their government to grow to European size levels, but rather return to American size levels.
Well, you know, let me ask you to answer maybe some of your critics. Some of your toughest critics aren't Democrats at all. They're Republicans. And in fact, although your group, the Americans for Tax Reform, you say was formed as an idea of Ronald Reagan's, it's Ronald Reagan's budget director, David Stockman, who calls you a fiscal terrorist. It's Bruce Bartlett, who designed Reagan's 1981 tax cut, that says that you're ruining the political process. How do you answer that?
You're talking about two people who flipped ideologically and become advocates of larger government and higher taxes. That's not the modern Republican Party. Both of those guys haven't played in Republican politics for 20 years. So, yes, they're former Republicans who are at ease with bigger government. Of course, they're former Democrats who've decided to be advocates of lower government.
But Bob Dole was the one that undid a third of the Reagan tax cuts because they raised the deficit to a high level.
He was the leader on that, and as Ronald Reagan said very clearly, his biggest mistake of his presidency, Democrats promised to cut spending $3 for every dollar of tax increase. Spending actually increased over the next 5 years by $177 billion from what it was supposed to. That's the 1982 fake budget cuts in return for real tax increases is one of the reminders that Republicans should never, ever again sit down and raise taxes in return for promises of spending restraint. We were lied to in 82 and lied to in 90.
Grover Norquist is the president of Americans for Tax Reform. Thanks for joining us.
You got it.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.